It's 9:28 on Classical Mornings. I'm your host, Jean Stillwell, on the new Classical FM. We have Guillermo Silva Marin, who is the founder and general director of the Toronto Operetta Theatre, on the phone to talk to us this morning about The Mikado, which opens the Toronto Operetta Theatre's season, and it's called Revisited, Mikado Revisited. Now, Mikado was composed by Gilbert and Sullivan. The Revisited part, I'm very, very curious to know more. Good morning, Guillermo.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Yeah, well, yeah, busy.
Of course, but 'tis the season for you, no?
Yes, right.
And especially when you're just about to, I know, I've worked with you several times, and I see those little notes coming out. I can just imagine, and writing on them, and the cast getting in the green room, just waiting to hear more, just waiting for their notes, Bill, right?
Right, that's what we're doing.
That's what you're doing, so, of course you are.
Right. And it's a fantastic time to spend it with Gilbert and Sullivan. And they're quite recognized masterpiece.
Yes.
The Mikado has indeed been a tremendously popular piece since it was composed in the 80s, 1880s, that is. Well, for a while I thought, cultural appropriation, setting the Mikado in Japan and having the Japanese being funny about satirical subject matters that are really applicable to the British Parliament was very intriguing, because I understood that Gilbert was and Sullivan were very smart at avoiding censorships.
Yes.
So when you start making fun of the royalty and parliament and politicians, which are these days quite subject matters for parody and satire.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking last time we did it was in 2014-15 over the Christmas period. It was very successful, but I'm shying away, and I said, well, why not transfer the Mikado to Burlington?
Burlington.
Right. And between Burlington and Ottawa, we can have really lots of fun.
I love it. That's a fabulous idea. So did you write this new libretto?
Yeah, I interfered a little bit with Gilbert. I don't want to dare too much. So we didn't change the storyline, the narrative,
right. The
witticisms of Mr. Gilbert, this is his major claim to fame, the witty repartee that happens in all of his operettas, and how Sullivan made quite a bit of a contribution to that humor, that sense of British humor.
Yes, but Bill, didn't Gilbert and Sullivan, didn't they say, you know, whenever you do this in the future, use appropriate and current politics?
Yep, and they did reference to people they knew were going to come to the shows.
Yes, sure.
In London at the Savoy Theatre.
Right.
Humorously, they did, and they got away with it.
Well, you must be very happy with it in order to want to share it with the public.
Exactly, and to chat with the cast and figure out, of course, Gregory Finney, who
hysterical.
Is our Coco.
Yes.
And we don't call him Coco; we call him something else.
Oh, do you? Oh boy, I can hardly wait.
And so he was just fascinated, and they all kind of said, let's go for this. And the laughter never stopped.
Oh, that's fantastic. I just bet, especially when you use current politics.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole cast would be so happy to do
thing.
I just bet. And, you know, I know that Coco has really the most to do when it comes to dialogue, etc., don't you feel?
Yes. So, I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, and Gregory Finney is a regular with Toronto Operetta Theatre, and rightly so.
Yeah. He came so well prepared this time around as well, and it was a delight to work with him. To Carrie Boyte, Karen Boyte is doing. We changed it a little bit, not Katashaw.
I see.
But Catty Cat.
Catty Cat. or Catty Karen, as the case may be.
and she, too, is having a great time. But the entire cast is having really very good time. We're, of course, Toronto Operetta Theatre has a mandate to sort of promote emerging artists.
Yes.
And I can say I've been really fortunate.
Oh.
We are featuring some really talented. And, of course, Gilbert demands the triple threat.
Yes, of course.
They have to dance. They have to be great actors. And, of course, they have to have good voices.
But, Bill, it's not just Gilbert. You do. You demand it. Come on. You can't fool me.
Okay.
And rightly so. Why not?
Right. Yes. Of course. I mean, it's not just a matter of topicality. Gilbert, of course, was very topical, and his references were quite clearly the 1880s and the people of London and the aristocrats and all that. But it is also the amazing score of Sullivan. I mean, the tunes, the fast forward movement of the score is breathtaking at times.
For sure.
Yes. So, of course, one can dedicate a whole season to Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes. Of course they could. I know you've done Mikado before. Is there any operetta by Gilbert and Sullivan that you haven't done?
Yeah, there are quite a few. You know, there were 14 creations of them. And one of the most famous, which was very early, was that one at the court.
Okay.
And so we haven't done that one.
Okay.
It's a one actor, and it's difficult to do one act.
Yes.
A short piece.
I'm sure.
But we have done Iolanthe, Gondoliers, Pirates, HMS Pinafore, and The Yeoman of a Guard.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, some of the most, those are pretty much the majority, the popular ones.
Yep, those are the ones that, the big hits.
Mm-hmm. So,
the big hits.
So, Bill, so
imagine, 14 more, 14 in total.
Oh, that's fantastic. No surprise, right? I mean, if they had a whole theater dedicated to it, it's not
that's
a surprise.
Right. It was Doyle Cart who said, "You are so good and you're making so much money. Let's build you a theater."
Of course, for sure.
And they built a theater for them.
Yeah, and Bill, sorry, go ahead, please.
And that's all they produce, Gilbert and Sullivan, in that theater.
Sure, absolutely. Why not? Bill, I need to ask you, how do you ensure the comedy lands well with both first-time operetta goers and also with first-time operetta singers?
Yeah. Well, the matter is that there are certain works that are universal, for one. They don't get tired. They don't lose their potency, I would say, in terms of how they're written and why they're written, for the sake of creating the satire and the witticism that is applicable from year to year, from century to century. And some works are perennial that way. I mean, I can think of The Magic Flute, for instance, as a comedy and with dialogue. And people are still fascinated by a work that is almost, 300 years?
Sure, of course.
So you follow, as a stage director, I follow the given circumstances. The given circumstances are the facts that are presented by the creator. And the creator here, this duo, were masters at what they were doing. So if you do what they intended, then it's going to hit the audience right between the eyes.
Great. Well, based on that, Bill, I'm so sorry that we can't speak for you, with you for longer, because I know that this really is your repertoire and you do it so well, and I wish we had more time to share.
But thank you. Yes, we could talk for another half hour.
Yes, for absolutely. Bill, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. And congratulations.
And, thank you.
And have fun.
Okay, we will.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with founder and general director of the Toronto Operetta Theatre, Guillermo Silva Marin, about their upcoming production of Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado Revisited. It's taking place at the St. Lawrence Centre for the Arts, October 24th at 7:30 p.m., October 25th, 3 o'clock, and 26th, 3 o'clock. For more information, go to torontooperetta.com.